Would you agree with me, though, that composting is not simple?
Oh my God, composting is so difficult.
It's the little green people show.
Well, what are you going to do? You going to recycle batteries now?
Yes, Mother, I will.
It's the little green people show.
Well, you know what? If the planet heats up enough, I think we'll all be moving somewhere because a lot of places will be flooded.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the Little Green People Show. I'm Jill Riddell.
I'm Laureen Von Klan.
And we're coming to you from the Peggy Notabart Nature Museum in Chicago. Here today to talk about a pledge. A pledge that Laureen took last year not to buy anything new for 12 months. She's recently completed the pledge, and today we're going to discover what insights it's brought her and the social and environmental ramifications for all of us. So, Laureen, what the heck were you thinking?
I was tired of buying. I went on a family vacation, and we spent so much time shopping, often for useless little tchotchkes. I had spent a ton of money on this vacation, and I had heard about this thing called the compact, which is when people take a pledge not to buy for a year or however long they want. And I decided, you know what? I'm going to do it.
So this is a phenomenon that's not just something that you just dreamed up on your own. There are other people that are doing this too.
Yeah, a lot of people. I read about it in some eco magazine or something that I borrowed. And it's something that originated in the Bay Area. And the idea is to begin a lifestyle to eliminate the clutter in your life, to support the environment, to shift the consumer culture, and to enrich your personal finances.
So the compact, that sounds like something from a Matrix movie or something. Where does that term come from?
It comes actually, I think, from the Pilgrims, who developed a set of working rules around which they would be able to sustain their community.
So this is a truly American thing to do.
It's truly American, although I think it's happening around the world. But yes, if you look just on the web for the compact, there are different groups here in Chicago. There is a Yahoo group for people doing the compact. It's in every major city.
So tell me what the rules are. The rules are not to buy anything new, but you can buy things.
Well, everyone can take their own compact.
Okay, so there are different versions.
You draw the line wherever you want. But some of the more basic prescriptions or guidelines that they provide to make it easier for you is to not buy anything new. You can barter. You can trade. You can buy used. You can also, of course, buy prescription medicine, food. Certain things just have to be bought new.
Okay.
You're also encouraged, if you are going to buy new, to buy things from local craftspeople, to buy home services that you might need to fix up your home. Those things are considered okay, but you're trying to live within some guidelines.
So buying local, buying the crocheted potholder that your niece made or something, that kind of thing's okay.
And wearing the potholder as your next new halter top. Mm-hmm, because you're not buying any new halter tops.
Oh, that sounds lovely. I'd mm-hmm, like to see that. Mm-hmm. Now, what did you do?
You might need two potholders.
So tell me what your personal rules were, and what were your rules regarding what you would buy for your son?
You know, I decided it wasn't fair. I mean, my son already gets enough of my values at home, and he's really good about it. But I decided to leave my son out of it.
Okay.
Although, you know, I still get plenty of his clothes. I mean, secondhand clothes for kids is, there's just so much out there that you can find great stuff. I really tried to make this personal to me.
So the new Wii or something for him would be in the realm of the possible.
Well, you know us. He doesn't have a Wii, and we don't even really have that many working televisions. People give us old televisions that they don't want anymore, so we have three of them.
But this is really just an extension of a lifestyle that you were already on to some degree.
Yes, it is. But I really did make a conscious effort to not buy anything new. Now, some people say new cosmetics, shampoos. Of course, you can't buy used shampoo, but there's a lot I found you can barter and trade for.
So tell me what you found was surprisingly hard not to buy new. What did you really struggle with over the course of the year?
I really like to have nice new clothes. This lovely Armani suit that I'm wearing today, I got used for a steal.
And you might not have necessarily gone to shop in a vintage shop before taking the
compact. Well, I would have, but I made a special effort to say I'm going to try to get even my work clothes. which are, you know, usually nicer, newer, you know, within the rules of the compact.
And what did you find was surprisingly easy either to go without or that you found you could locate and find other sources for without having to buy it?
Well, let me go back to one thing that was hard to live without.
Yeah.
But I found plenty of alternatives, and that was Scotch tape. Really, we live in a society and in a point in time where you're just expected to have certain things at home.
Like adhesives.
Adhesives. When we ran out of Scotch tape, I said, well, what am I going to do? I don't have Scotch tape and I'm not going to go buy any new. And people, you know, when I said that to them, they said, oh, I'll get you Scotch tape. And I said, no, that's not the point.
So it wasn't enough to have somebody else make the transaction for you and give it to you as a gift?
No, really, I had to tell people, you know, I'm not buying this, because I'd say, well, I'm not buying anything new. And they'd say, well, I'll get it for you. It was like they didn't quite absorb what it was that I was trying to do. But I found lots of alternatives. I found that if I really looked, I had a million things that were tape of some kind or substituted for tape. And so I was able to not buy tape.
What did you find that you actually could get by with that you really didn't need?
Oh, there were a bunch of things that I decided to not buy. I decided to not buy myself refills for my fancy pen. You know, there are a zillion pens. If we look around the world around us, every drawer in the house somewhere has a pen.
That's true.
There are pens.
They might
and
not be
everywhere.
Ones that you want to write with. That's the thing. Some are not your favorite kind of ink, or they have the name of a hotel you never really liked that much, or that kind of thing.
Exactly. I had to decide that I could live with the name of that hotel. I decided that I could go without new earbuds for my iPod. I decided I could go without new summer pajamas. And the new summer pajamas was part of something that I learned, which was that it requires a different aesthetic to be able to go without new. You have to be able to say, you know, those are still good. In fact, there's something beautiful about the wornness and the usedness of them. And if I think about these pajamas, I've had a lot of fun in them. So it requires rethinking what your aesthetic is, and also being patient, like thinking to myself, if I don't get new summer pajamas, I bet new summer pajamas will come to me from some great source, like somebody has these pajamas. My sister might have a pair that she never wears that are just perfect for me.
So you kind of have to get over the fresh and crisp look.
You know how fresh and crisp I am at all times. But yeah,
you need
a little of that.
Did you find yourself also like crowding your Christmas list and birthday list when your parents would ask you like, well, what should we get you? Did you find yourself writing down fresh summer pajamas and Scotch tape?
I did not. And what's funny is that a lot of people asked me, did I stock up first? And of course, I didn't, because that would sort of defeat the point.
You know, in our U.S. economy, shopping is good for the economy. It creates jobs. It creates prosperity. A lot of the economic indicators have to do with the consumer index and how much people are buying or spending. Generally, when the economy's not so great, people are buying less, and that has a sort of a snowball effect. Did you have any sense of any kind of feeling, a sense of obligation as a good citizen that you ought to participate in the economy in some way and not just kind of hoard your resources but share them in the community?
I did, but it was slightly different. What I discovered was this whole other economy that's out there. That's when I discovered Chicago FreeCycle, for example.
Right, which we had a show on.
FreeCycle is a website and a listserv that you can become part of where people post things that they no longer need or want, and where you post things that you want or need. And so I wanted, for example, blue bags for my recycling when I was still doing the blue bags program, and I found someone who had extra blue bags. So you post things that you need and want, and there's this entire world of exchange out there. Now, is that good for the economy? I think it's good for the economy to the extent that people who are not in an economic position to actually buy certain things are still able to get things that they need and get use out of them, which empowers them in the rest of their lives to go out about their lives in a productive way.
A lot of this seems like there is a community building element to it, but what about the environmental element? Why is this good for the earth?
Stuff. Making stuff, using stuff. So much stuff comes from fossil fuel products. Our landfills are filled with stuff. You know, there's a a great richness, I think, that we can bring back to the earth if we just have less stuff around ourselves. I think less clutter, less stuff inside our houses will allow us to go outside more. You know, we have less to worry about taking care of inside, and well, maybe we'll not be fixing the toaster or not be, you know, worrying about organizing all of our things. We'll be looking at the stars, looking at the sky. So there's sort of the resource use, and then also sort of liberating yourself from your possessions in order to walk through the earth in a more human way.
Did you fall off the wagon during the course of the year? You must have ended up buying something new.
I bought new things, and I have a list, and I'm so proud that this list fits on about two-thirds of a page.
So that you didn't have to buy a whole page?
Right. I didn't have to buy a whole used...
You didn't want to buy an entire sheet of paper.
This is
you
a reused want... piece
it
of...
It is.
Of I bought super glue because there was no substitute for super glue, and I had to fix something. I bought myself a ring, which was interesting, the buying of the ring. I would not have bought this ring except that I was with a group of friends at a celebration, an 80th birthday party, and there we were in this motel, and they were having like a buy jewelry show. And I was there
as part of the party?
It was just part of the motel arrangement. Okay. And so there was a spirit of community and the girls getting together and having fun, trying on jewelry, looking at jewelry. And they made a deal that if we spent over, you know, like $200 between the four of us, we would get a 20% discount. And so we were all there cackling away and having fun and trying things on each other. And I felt compelled to buy as part of the group experience.
Well, it's a pure and simple form of peer pressure, right? You did it with your social group. And that doesn't mean necessarily like a negative participation, but it could have been a joyful participation, but it was all about sort of the social network.
It's a social network. Yeah. Shopping together, resource accumulation together is fun. I mean, fishing together is fun. You know, it's probably fun for you to go tend your bees with your kids. I mean, doing things together is fun. It's not.
No, but.
Okay, forget that one. And you know what? Going shopping with my family isn't all that much fun either. But there is something communal about shopping together. And that was one of the ways I fell off the wagon, was when it was something that we were doing for a greater experience. I also learned something interesting. My computer crashed during this period.
That's a tough thing not to replace.
So I went ahead and I had to buy a new hard drive and recovery disks. And I just hate diskettes. They just seem like instant garbage to me, but you need them. So
the hard drive, a ring, and super glue.
The thing is that I had to buy these things to maintain the level of my lifestyle. Like, do I, in the really grand scheme of things, need a computer? No. But I have a lifestyle at a certain level that requires that I have a computer. Not having a working computer would take my lifestyle, I don't know if I want to say down a notch, because it might be up, but it would be a gradual simplification of my lifestyle. So if you start out this process thinking, I have a lot of stuff, and I'm going to maintain the amount of stuff that I have, you are going to end up keeping buying in order to maintain that. So you have to be willing to take your lifestyle down a notch. Like a watch of mine broke, I didn't fix it. It meant I had one watch less.
Well, we're going to take a few questions from the audience, and then I would like to come back, and I'd be curious to know sort of what your big takeaway was.
Hi.
Hi.
You are our first question. What's your name? That's
Mary.
My first question.
It's Mary.
Mary, thanks.
Where are you from, Mary?
Chicago.
And your question?
I wanted to know if you tracked the amount of money that you had saved during the entire year that you had made this pledge. Yes.
No, I didn't. And that has been asked of me before. But I did notice that my monthly credit card bill was lower. It was, you know, a few hundred dollars lower than it might normally be.
Each month?
Each month.
Oh, that's
each
a lot.
Month. So it was at least a couple thousand dollars, I think. So, yeah, that helped.
Hello.
Hi.
And what's your name?
Ashley.
And what do you do, Ashley?
I actually work in the wedding industry.
Oh, okay. Here in Chicago?
Yes, I do.
Great.
My question for you was, when you were doing this, obviously you couldn't not purchase food, but did you change your food purchasing habits at all? Did you try to buy less or buy from farmers markets, things like that?
You know, I tried to make more food. For example, I made yogurt. One of the things that I realized in my life was that I buy a lot of yogurt in those little containers. We eat a ton of yogurt at home. And so I just happened to run in at a yard sale. I ran into one of those little yogurt makers and I started making yogurt. And so other than that, I didn't change the food buying too much. Although I did at one point on toothpaste, that's not really food. I was worried because I knew I would be running out of toothpaste soon. So I sent an email out to sort of a network of friends. And one friend offered to, you know, give me a big thing of baking soda that she had in her basement. And I thought, oh, I don't want that. And then then somebody else said, well, you know, Friends of the Chicago River is having their volunteer river cleanup day. And it's sponsored by Toms of Maine. And they always give out toothpaste samples. So I went and I volunteered, and the kids leave behind. A lot of the kids don't take their toothpaste samples home with them. They're just not interested. So there they were at the picnic tables. I scooped up, you know, 15 things of toothpaste, and I was set for, you know, quite a while.
So, Lorene, what advice would you offer to somebody else toying with the idea of taking a compact?
Be prepared to ask yourself all the time what it is that you need or don't need. And realize that there are going to be unexpected things that you realize you don't need. And then be prepared to have this amazing experience of walking into stores and places where you normally might buy things and like have this force field of bliss around you where you're able to say, oh no, I'm not buying. And you sort of walk through, you drift through, and you say, oh no, I'm not. Thank you. It's so really liberating.
I can imagine that. So when you absolutely know that the possibility has been removed, it's freeing in some way.
It's incredibly freeing. And I really think that shopping is sort of there is an addictive element. There's like a rush that you get when you buy. And letting go of that is really feels good.
Thanks, Lorene, for sharing those thoughts on the compact. That's it today for the Little Green People Show. I'm Jill Riddell.
I'm Lorene Von Klan.
Until next time, live large with a small footprint.
From the Notabart Nature Museum in Chicago, you've been listening to the Little Green People Show. Tune in next week for more sound advice on green living.